When Poème d'un jour, Aline Perez's album of French and Italian songs was released in 2013, the UK's Independent awarded it a full 5 stars, and the International Record Review raved, "Every so often, a singer comes along who completely bowls you over." That was a year after Ms. Perez had become the first Latin American singer to win the Richard Tucker Award. She also received the 15th annual Plácido Domingo Award in 2012. The New York Times has called her a major soprano, a beautiful woman who commands the stage. And now, after appearing on most of the world's great opera stages, she's making her Metropolitan Opera debut in the role of Micaela in Richard Eyre's production of Bizet's Carmen as part of an all-star cast that includes Elena Garancha in the title role and Roberto Alagna and Jonas Kaufman taking turns as Don Jose. There are just 3 remaining performances this coming Thursday and then on March 4th and 7th. And it is with great pleasure that I welcome Aileen Perez to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
What's taking you so long for you to finally sing at the Met?
Well, it takes a great deal of practice and work and consistent performance and many of guesting in the world's opera houses and building the career. So I feel like I'm right on time. I'm so grateful for being a part of this production. It's a great team in Carmen with the seasoned artists like Roberto and Elena. It's a dream. It's a dream, and led by Louis Longre.
Elena was here last year, and I was just bowled over by her performance. But you have won over this crowd. When you sing your great opera in aria in Act 3, the night I was there, you got the loudest ovation of any of the singers.
Oh, thank you. It's a very lonely moment. I mean, as arias mostly are, but you know, on the Metropolitan Opera stage in this gorgeous production by Richard Eyre, you can see that, you know, I come down this really large, tall staircase, and it's daunting. And you know, I just thought, sing my heart out and be Micaela, and it's okay to be vulnerable, and it's.
And she is vulnerable. She's the only really nice person in this whole opera. have you sung the role of Micaela before?
I did in Philadelphia in 2011, I think it was. And not since then. So it's been a few years of growth to consider what she's all about. And it's interesting, you know, she's a French ingenue. So you think, oh, she has very charming music, but in a way it's her inner beauty, I think, that is her strength, and definitely her version of love and her understanding of love and caring for another human being.
Well, you say she's a French ingenue. Of course, mm-hmm. She's singing in French, but she's supposedly in Spain. It's one of the ironies that you, somebody who probably grew up speaking Spanish as much as you spoke English, are now playing a Spanish woman singing in French.
Yes. Well, I love that. I have a certain temperament, you know, and so the French music and the line has a gorgeous fluidity that always moves forward. So thanks to everyone's input, you know, it's definitely lending the elegance to each phrase. But I think Bizet, and granted the situations in all of these different scenes, is really after the color of Seville, the passion play, really a French verismo, which is, you know, taking the story of betrayal and murder on the stage before an audience, and in a way of even involving, you know, the idea of fate, mysticism, religion. You know, Micaela's aria is a prayer to God, please grant me the strength. But it's interesting that this production is set in Francoist Spanish Civil War. So it's interesting to see how some of the soldiers are involved with the gypsies and are kind of betraying, you know, they're playing two sides of life there. And I think that's what's exciting about the production.
In this production there, yes. Frank, the Civil War, the Spanish Civil War, of yes. course, when Bizet wrote it in the 19th century, it was a whole other thing. But he definitely was trying
right.
to capture
he...
Spanish sounds. The music, we now think of this music, even though it's a French composer, mm-hmm. as being incredibly Spanish sounding.
And I think when I think of a French composer, I'm ready to hear, you know, their play of chromaticism. This was new in his time. It's very bright and lively musical theater. And he passed away shortly after the premiere, saw it as a failure, and had also served in the National Guard. This is me, like, you know, gathering a bunch of facts. But I think it lends an incredible perspective that what he was trying to venture into, musically speaking, is really capturing, you know, the flamenco, the habanera, those rhythms, and bringing it into our world of classical music. That's brave and bold, and it's interesting. It's like bringing street music to the theater, and in a formal way without losing, you know, the richness. It's,
as you just mentioned, although Carmen is one of the world's most popular operas, its original staging in Paris in March 1975 wasn't either a critical or a financial success, and Bizet died during the initial run. It's based on a novella by Prosper Mérimée, was also read. I wonder why it was a flop.
I don't know. I mean, especially when you hear the musical numbers. I think maybe at that time there were so many musical catchy tunes, and he maybe was just in a generation of a lot of great composing and music. But what I love about his treatment, again, of the characters, I take interest to see what the names are. And, you know, Carmen, you know, is about, you know, it's the name is derived from the word song or songstress or poem or poetress, and it also has a charm. And, you know, and she is like the queen of the mysticism. And even as she encounters her fate of love, her version of love, and her destiny, and even Don José is on stage facing his destiny, wrestling with his duty, honor, and love and destiny. And I think that everything was written so carefully, and I really appreciate all this. And it's a shame that it wasn't such a huge success for him to see before his own eyes. And also The Pearl Fishers, you know, another great opera that's upcoming in the Metropolitan Opera season. It's a beautiful story. And when I talk about the chromaticism, because to me, there's such an elegance in French music, and it's how they take on that flavor. And even it's, you know, obviously French, it's a very Latin culture, obviously. So
would you want to sing Carmen?
I can't wait. I think there are a lot of roles that, you know, I would love to sing because I think, oh, I have the temperament for it. But yeah, no, I think we'll see. I don't imagine it anytime soon.
My guest is Aileen Pérez, who is now appearing as Micaela in the current Metropolitan Opera production of Carmen, or as it's sung in the opera, Carmen. Your parents are Mexican immigrants who mm-hmm. grew up in small towns outside of Guadalajara.
Yes.
But then they met in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So you must have grown up in a bilingual home. Do you think that that may have helped you learn the languages you need to know for opera?
Definitely. You know, having spoken Spanish first, it's definitely the foundation of all the Romance languages. So when it was time to learn music, let me start by saying my mom and dad are loving parents, and they actually arrived today. I'm so excited. But
They're in New York to see the production. Oh, great.
To see the show tomorrow. But, you know, my mom was involved in folkloric dancing, and she even learned how to play the guitar and actually knows how to play the castanets and knew some of the traditional Jalisciense folkloric dances of Guadalajara and the whole Republic of Jalisco. So she was always interested in sort of the arts. And I remember one of my costumes for Halloween when I was in preschool was looking kind of like a little Sevillana, you know, with a little headdress and the comb in the hair and a red dress with ruffles, a little bit of flamenco dress in a way. It wasn't a flamenco dress. It was just, you know, she kind of guided me along to the arts and language.
But opera? Opera
was a little bit later in the path. I got into music through band and orchestra in fourth and fifth grade, thanks to the programs in music education in public schools, which I'm advocating and hoping to, you know, tell everyone in the world, please, it really matters.
They've all been cut back in Chicago, which has caused Rahm Emanuel some problem.
It's just, everyone in the community is really trying to pull together to just hold ground and keep supporting these young artists. And I know the Metropolitan Opera is doing very much, to do that. I was just with the Metropolitan Guild, who, you know, invited high school students to.
You just did a class yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, everyone in the community, in the arts community, across the board, not just the opera community, the symphonic community, we're all trying to reach out. And even musical theater, you know, people are reaching out to hopefully give a voice and keep those programs in the community. But yeah, language is important. I think that somehow also being, I know my parents would be called first generation and I'm called second generation, but you have a feeling of not really fitting in. And so music happened to be the place where I fit in and I could pick up an instrument and fit in with others. And it was the biggest joy of my life.
So it began with playing a musical instrument?
Yeah, the flute.
When did you realize you could sing?
In high school when I just wanted to make more friends and I heard, you know, in order to be involved in the musical theater productions and to get a role, you had to take voice lessons. And it's actually my first voice teacher. He came out to see the opening night and been training, went back to train with him. And he was a Heldon tenor that then, you know, decided to stay home and have a family life. And he heard in me a potential to be an opera singer. Now, how that happened, I just thank my, you know, thank destiny and God for that, because I don't know, without these great, enthusiastic music teachers early on in my life, you know, John Janusek in junior high, Mr. Swanson and Carl in high school, I wouldn't have had the striving for excellence, the inner enthusiasm, the boldness to be a part of a production, be a part of musical excellence, storytelling. It was kind of definitely the kernel of that was developed early on.
Do you think that that's a problem today because music programs have been cut back in the schools?
I think so. It's like losing a sense of, you know, you have your five senses and you have to learn how to be expressive. And if you're not the best writer or the best conversationalist, you know, it's amazing how when you're given an instrument, you're given music, but the music belongs to the bigger piece, but you're a part of a greater whole. And that in itself is, I still, it's an awesome gift, and I think it's a shame to ever lose it. And even now, as I look back at my friends who were in the band and orchestra, it kind of reminds me of that scene in Mr. Holland's Opus, you know, when you find like the senator or the governor playing first clarinet. I mean, that's the thing. Not everybody went on to be a professional musician, but look at the camaraderie we had. I mean, we played the 1812 Overture. We had Stars and Stripes Forever. We did marching band orchestra concerts. One of my, you know, junior high band teacher, Mr. Jang, he arranged all of the Disney hits. I think the year I was there, Aladdin had come out. So he arranged for a trio, A Friend Like Me, and, you know, he made arrangements of Dixieland Jazz Band.
And you've talked about wanting to do musical theater. Renee Fleming is going to do a musical this year.
Yeah.
I guess there's been a long history of opera singers doing musicals as well. But aren't you also planning to have a joint concert with the Mexican tenor Ramon Vargas singing some of the
boleros? Yeah, some of the most beautiful.
Did you sing
boleros.
That music when you were growing up?
Or I
is
didn't.
This something you're learning about after you developed an opera career?
I think I'm emotion comes naturally to me and everything else is pretty much studied. And I think I have, you know, instincts, but I really had to learn. I wasn't the best at memorizing words. So when I hear a song, I really can hear the melody and remember the tune. And I have to study all the words. But the boleros were in my life, when I was probably in my 20s. It was a time when I was at IU, you know, Indiana University, studying my bachelor's degree in music. And my uncle, a long-lost uncle from Puerto Rico, happened to be the leader of the Latin American jazz band. And he actually said, well, hi, I'm your uncle. You want to learn this music? And, you know, I sang Frenesi and other, you know, Bésame Mucho with big band and other boleros that he had set and arranged for me to sing. So it was a big discovery time in my 20s of one of my favorite groups, Trios Los Panchos. I go back to them anytime I feel the blues or need to feel that love again. I go back to that music.
Well, do you feel lost sometimes? I know being an opera singer requires a lot of travel. You have sung in opera houses all over the world. I'd imagine that it gets kind of lonely sometimes.
Very lonely.
And it's work, work, work.
It is work.
Do you ever get to see the sights when you're in one of those great cities, or are you just working all the time?
Well, when sometimes, you know, it's fortunate to be in a production that's, oh, gosh, if you're ever lucky to have a production that you're involved in for over, let's see, a couple months, summer festivals, for example, like the Santa Fe Opera, Glyndebourne, and Salzburg Festival. Those are time periods that you have the summer there. You have a huge rehearsal schedule. I mean, long rehearsal period. So you have the time to work on the show, but then you can also find time in the good weather in the summertime to go out and about and just have some fun and explore the area. But yeah, it's challenging because I think as an I like to just, you know, take care, and every choice affects you and how you feel the next day and how you know, affects your performance. And we all really, you know, it's really hard to sing when you're just not in the best condition. So, yeah, for a lot, I keep thinking I'm going to find some kind of new fun in my life, but this is my life and I love going to concerts. I've never lived in New York to go to Carnegie Hall, and I feel like I'm there every other night, and it's astounding, and I don't want to miss out.
We have good museums, too.
Uh-huh.
Roberto Alagna has been singing the role of Don Jose, but isn't he being replaced by another superstar tenor, Jonas Kaufman, for the final two performances?
Well, yeah, they're sharing the role, and Jonas, I've never sung with him. It'll be a real delight to meet him. I think we start working on Monday.
Will that require a lot of adjustment?
I think so. I mean, it's not a lot. I think that with any artist in any show, even this production, we're all still gelling and growing together. And something I loved about watching Roberto and Alina work together since they premiered the production, even there, you know, there are adjustments. You learn, you know, what makes you feel more at ease and more generous on stage is ultimately what works. And so it'll be exciting to see also, you know, Jonas is, two great interpreters of roles. So it's actually, I'm having the time of my life just seeing every time Roberto sings Jose, it's frightening because you can see how he's a soldier and torn between his own life as a soldier, his passion for this other woman. He's kind of on the edge. And it's going to be great to see Jonas Kaufman's interpretation on his own. And I've seen, you know, his Don Jose when it broadcast from La Scala. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be different. And I think in a very thrilling way.
Well, one of the things that makes this production so effective is that the acting is really good. Mm-hmm. Opera wasn't, you didn't always expect to see such good acting in the old days when you went to an opera. Just one more thing. You've said that on the evening that you received the Richard Tucker Prize, you nearly forgot your name. Now, you'd already received a whole bunch of other awards by that time and sung at all the big opera stages.
I still forget my name when I think, you know, it's surreal. I mean, you just, you know, you aspire to certain levels, but you never realize you don't know if it's going to work out. And when these moments happen, they're big. I just light up around people. I love and admire so many of my friends and colleagues, and I feel so much. I mean, it's intense to the perspective of where I come from, where my family comes from, and how this all, the teachers I've worked with, everyone who's had an input in my life, the appreciation. And yeah, I lose my mind a bit.
We're going to go out with you singing a little bit from Carmen.
Oh, okay.
And my great thanks to Eileen Perez, who's making her Metropolitan Opera debut.
An honor to meet you. Thank you.
And you were brilliant in the role.
Thank you. Thank you very much.